This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
What up, Whiskey Ginger fans? If you want to come see the Rojo Rocket live, I got a bunch of tour dates in the new year. The Red Rocket Tour starts, baby, in 2020. I'm so excited about it, man. At the beginning, I go to Edmonton, Canada. Then I go to Denver, Colorado. And then I go to Minneapolis and Madison. Then in February, I'm in Bakersfield. Then I go down to Atlanta. We're jumping around the whole country, January, February, March, April, May, and we're adding dates as we go. Go to AndrewSantino.com for tickets. I want to thank you so much for spreading the word, man. We sold so many tickets already. Come out and see me run this new hour. I'm excited. Please click subscribe and all that good jazz and like it. And then go on the iTunes and comment 5 stars. Go, I love this. This is so great, though. Tell all your friends. And another great announcement. Check it out, dude. The Red Rocket got the merch. The merch on the head. The Red Rocket merch. We also have a bunch of Whiskey Ginger stuff. Cool shirts that say, "In here we pour whiskey." A bunch of other stuff that I'm sure we're putting up on the screen in front of my face, so you're just listening to me at this point anyway. And if you're just listening and not watching it on YouTube, it's even more awkward, but it doesn't really matter because that's how it goes. But I'm excited for all of these things. The Red Rocket Tour in 2020. Go to AndrewSantino.com for tickets. That's where you can get the merch as well as see the tour and connect with me. I'm so excited. And our Patreon is now available, which is another huge thing. I'm going to be doing all my solo episodes there as well as Q&A. Is all going to live there on the Patreon because this will only be the guest interviews here on De Regula Whiskey Ginger page. Without further ado, let's go to the episode. This episode of Whiskey Ginger is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped is the best, dude. You want to clean up your basement. You don't want to nick your balls, man. Tis the season to keep your nuts clean. Go to manscaped.com because you can find all sorts of good stuff. The ball butter is incredible. The deodorizer, you know, the anti-chafing cream to put down there. You know, when you're running after the chickadoos this winter, you don't want your legs smashing again. Together, get the ham hocks rubbing together. You want to keep everything down there clean and smooth. Go to Manscaped because they have the best stuff, the crop preserver, the lawnmower 2.0. I have all of these things, I swear to God, and I use them because I don't like to use the same trimmer for my face as I do for my balls. I'm a weirdo. I don't care. I use 2 different sides of the towel when I wash my balls and I wash my face. I don't want my nuts in my face. It's my thing, okay? I don't think it's that weird. But Manscaped has some of the greatest products out there, plus a great tote bag that comes with everything. You can take it on the go. So it's discreet and manly. It looks nice and smooth, not embarrassing, but they have all the right tools for your tool. I'm a huge supporter of them, and they're a big supporter of the show. So we love their stuff, and I genuinely believe in it because it's nice to have your nuts clean, you know what I mean? Whether you're married or single, you wanna show off a little bit, you know? Give the guy more girth, give the guy more length, give the guy more style. Go to manscaped.com, use the promo code Whiskey. You know the name of the show, baby. It's Whiskey to get 20% off. And give it for a gift this holiday if you have to. If you don't want it for yourself, give it to somebody else that you know has got a messy downstairs. Go to manscaped.com, use the promo code Whiskey to get 20% off.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You are that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it once again. Today, it's Fortune Feimster. Hello.
Hi,
how are you?
Oh,
cheers.
So good. Cheers.
Cheers to you. Fortune wanted a little bit of sauce. We're drinking.
You gave me the good stuff.
This is Blanton's. This is really good stuff. This is Kentucky bourbon.
That's a family name of mine. We have a lot of Blanton's in my family.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
What, like, is on your mama's side?
On my mom's side, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, my grandmother's last name was Blanton.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Pull this a little closer to your mouth,
okay,
by the way.
Well.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, really?
Yeah, I don't know if it's any relation to...
Do you have family in Kentucky?
No, all North Carolina.
Yeah.
Well, North Carolina and Florida.
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 Yeah, but North Carolina's close enough to Kentucky, right?
Yeah, they're not far.
They're neighbors.
I feel like it's all kind of similar around there.
You might be. If you have some ties to the Blantons, you ought to make some phone calls and get some money because that's some really good stuff.
It's really good.
This is Buffalo Trace makes this stuff, and I went over there and went to the distillery. It was awesome. But Kentucky is Kentucky's an interesting place.
Yeah,
it's an interesting place.
I've never done stand up in Kentucky.
I did Lexington. They have a club there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, before that, I had never been there. My stepdad is from North Carolina. Speaking of which, yeah, he's from a tiny little town. Actually, you know where John Reap is from? Hickory.
Hickory. Yeah.
Okay, my dad's from a town like 3 miles away from there called Valdez.
Oh, okay.
It's the size of your Apple Watch. Yeah. It's this big.
Do you like your stepdad?
Yeah, I love him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
good.
He's the best. Yeah. I'm gonna kill him. I hate him. No, he's the best. But that's why I learned about like small town Southern culture. Because mm-hmm. a kid from Chicago, I didn't know anything about it. And then when we went there, I was like,
my fiance lives in Chicago forever. Well, I think people sometimes think when they think of the South, they assume that I like grew up on a farm. Mm-hmm. For some reason, they're like, "Oh, you're a farm." I'm like, "No, the South is like a lot of small towns.
It's a ton of small towns.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like a downtown. There's like a cute downtown,
mm-hmm. and then a main street.
Yeah, a main street.
On Main Street's gonna be a Dairy Queen. You're gonna see King Super
or the Dairy Queen.
King Lion. What was the grocery store?
Oh, Winn-Dixie.
Winn-Dixie.
And Bilo.
And Bilo's going to be down there.
Or
right
Harris
on, or Harris
Teeter.
Yeah, that's going to be there too. It is. North Carolina feels like a bunch of Lifetime movies. Like
yeah,
it's all
100%.
It's all like the scene. When you see a scene out of a Lifetime, like a Christmas movie.
Yeah, less murders.
Yeah, way less. Way less. There's no time to kill.
No.
Yeah, you got so much stuff going on.
You're too busy baking.
I got to be baking. I got to pick up the boys. I got to stitch them something.
And then I got to take time to rest my eyes.
Rest my eyes.
I'll call my mom.
The South is like Spain, how they have like...
Yeah.
Their own language. They take a nap all the time. You know what I mean?
The siestas.
The siestas. They kind of work. Like, I feel like in my dad's town, like everyone had a job, but the job wasn't breaking their... It wasn't breaking their soul.
Yeah. It was like a 9 to 5 job.
9 to 3:30.
Something like that.
You know what I mean? Like none of the people in that town felt like they were broken. And city people always feel like the jobs are murdering them.
Yeah, you're
like
right.
Like they just can't.
You're right. I never thought about that. Because when I go home, everybody's just kind of like happy and like
Much more relaxed.
Easy going.
Yeah, because I think the pressures are much less.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that doesn't exist in certain parts of the South, but I think when I go there, I always felt like the mood was maybe more appreciative to have downtime. Where we, if you work in an industry in a city, I feel like your downtime is usually spent doing more work.
Yeah, I think back home it seems that the emphasis is more on the family
mm-hmm.
and being at home with your kids or your husband or your wife.
Yeah.
And again, that's not for everybody. It's not.
No,
that's a generalization, but it seems to be.
But that kind of has no. That's kind of the culture, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Were you religious?
I grew up Methodist, you grow up going to church every Sunday. Like God. That is
when
that's
did you
part
quit?
Of the culture. When I went to college,
you were like, no more. I can't do it.
I take that back. I went to college a little bit.
I
dabbled in college. I went to church a little bit still in college.
You did?
Because that mentality is kind of still with you. Like you feel like you're being a bad Christian if you're not going.
Right. You didn't.
So I totally quit when I moved to LA.
Badass. You're a rebel.
I realized I was gay. That was part of it. And then also I started playing softball on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think...
Wasn't the church softball team all gay? Wasn't that all gay women?
It was a lot of dudes, but they played on, like, Monday nights. But if you're going to make me pick between softball and church, I mean, I got to go softball.
You got to go softball.
Yeah?
You got to go softball.
Yeah, especially in the beginning of coming out, I didn't know any gay people.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I got to be on the softball team. This is the only way I'm going to meet gay people.
Were you good?
I was great.
Yeah.
I was great. It's
that's
in
the barometer.
My DNA, Andrew.
Yeah, I know. What is that? There's like a history. Like,
why are lesbians good?
Why
at
are
sports?
Lesbians so good at some specific sports?
I don't know what it is about softball. Yeah, I've never like
softball,
really broken
softball's
it down.
Kind of like a cliche joke for like, if you're a lesbian, but like any woman I know that was a lesbian was mm-hmm. that played softball was really good.
Yeah,
like really good.
Yeah, I think it's one of those sports where. It's great for lesbians because you only have to run a little bit. It's a sport where you could get hammered
yeah,
and
yeah.
still be good and play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I started playing softball in LA as an adult, I would play. I was like on a team that traveled.
Oh,
and,
wow.
We would play in tournaments, and all these hardcore lesbians would get hammered, just like kegs in
during
their dugout.
The game? Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
And they would like catch a ball blindfolded.
They were that good.
They
yeah,
were
they
that
were that
good.
That's awesome.
That's incredible.
Yeah. What,
like there's, when you, wait, so okay, let me back up a little bit because I'm so interested in this now. When you said, I stopped going to church because you admitted to yourself that you were gay, or you were saying you came out?
I came out. Well,
you came out in college?
I didn't come out until I was 25.
Oh,
was,
after school.
I was a late bloomer, yeah.
Wow.
You can look back and go, oh, well, clearly I've been gay.
Well, you have some phenomenal bits, by the way. People need to look up online. You have some incredible bits about coming out. Your bit with your mom and She's My Best Friend. Is,
oh, yeah.
It's honestly one of the funniest bits, one of my favorite bits.
Oh, thank you.
Of any comedian that I know, because it hits, even if I know that punchline's coming, it makes me laugh every fucking time.
Oh,
it's good,
it.
Man. It's so good.
It was my first like hit joke, you know, but I think it was because it came from such a real
so
place
real.
Where
yeah.
Because I didn't know I was gay for so long, you're just so angsty.
Yeah.
And you can't really, you don't really understand why. Why am I so intense that my friend is going out with a guy? Why do I care so much? It's just your friend.
Right, who cares?
And so my mom was always completely mystified by this intensity about my friends. So I would yell at her, like, she's my best friend! You don't get it!
What's your mom's name again? You say it
Ginger.
All the time. Ginger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's part of this. She's here with us.
Your mom has like the sweetest face. Whenever you put your mom up on things, I'm always like, this is like the... your mom looks like the ideal version of what a mother would be if you could draw one in your
That's
brain.
That's true.
She does. She has that like
sweet.
Warm, sweet, like loving, like a very like she'll beat the shit out of you if you
oh,
fuck up.
For sure.
But like that. But that's all sweet moms.
Yeah.
Sweet moms are like underneath. They'll murder you.
Yeah.
You know. But it she's got that like just angelic face where you're like, oh God, she doesn't. she doesn't have any like hate in her heart.
No, you know, I was very lucky that I was raised by people that were just, it was important for them, for us to be kind to everybody.
Yeah.
And my family, my brothers, my mom, everybody's been very like that kind of, I guess it goes back to Christianity, do unto others kind of mentality where they just really drilled into us like treating everybody with respect, having manners, being a good person.
Yeah.
And I mean, we can be dicks plenty, but
totally.
It was always important to just like be a good person.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the Christian laws that everyone should abide by. And that's where it should start and stop. You
right.
know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like, just that's don't be a basic, dick, be cool, be nice, and like try your best.
Yeah.
After that, I think it's just fodder. I'm like, this
for
is
sure.
After that, it's just like, I'm not obeying these weird fake rules. It's just like, I think that the installation of these things in society about be a good person, do unto others, treat others, I think those are such basic through line things that even if you go to a country that doesn't speak the same language, that's the exact same motive that most religious people who are not of your sect agree on. It's like, yeah, that's kind of our standard.
Yeah, I mean, if that's something that we could all adhere to, we'd be in
try.
A much better place, you know?
Yeah, but we're far away from
but
that.
But it's hard. You know, it gets hard. We all get snarky. We all...
Yeah, bullshit.
But yeah, we don't put our best foot forward.
The devil's creeping in.
That devil's, the
devil's
on my
is,
back.
His back is just creeping in.
That devil's being a real bitch.
Did you ever see moments of your sweet mother? Did she have moments of snapping on you guys hard?
Oh God, yes.
Yeah.
My mom was a special ed teacher.
She had patience.
30 years. She had so much patience, not with us.
Mm-mm.
She had, and she also worked a lot with Down syndrome kids.
Okay.
For most of her career, and I would go to her school, and I mean, my mom would. You'd be like, this woman's a saint.
Mm-hmm.
She has more patience than anyone I've ever seen. So loving, wonderful. These kids adored her, and she'd come home. All patience was gone.
Get
you know, you're just like, hey, where did that woman go?
Do we need to have Down syndrome for you to be nice to us, Mom?
Mom, come on.
What is this?
I'm special.
Because that's what happens is like anytime a friend's mom worked at the school, they would be like so nice to us.
Uh-huh.
And the kid was like, you don't know what she's like when she's at
know.
Home. Yeah,
you don't let that no, sweet face you have fool
no
you.
Fucking idea what she does. My parents were so not involved with the school that that like parent-teacher stuff, they would like bail on. They're like, really? Oh, we don't want to go to that. I mean, they went to some, but it was always like both of my parents worked my whole life. So that it was just,
yeah,
like school for me, they were like, just stop. Don't fuck up. Okay. Right. Just get out.
It's like, don't make us have to go to your school.
Just get out of it. Can you just get through it as fast as you can? That's for me. Yeah. School was really how fast can I get through it?
Did you grew up in Chicago? Or like?
Partially, yeah. Okay. So when my mom got remarried, we moved to the suburbs. We moved to the western suburbs. But I grew up as a kid in high-rises downtown.
Oh, really?
Isn't that weird? Yeah.
That is interesting.
Yeah, I've talked to that about people, but I never really thought about it until I've gotten older that
I'm
it was strange.
I'm fascinated by kids that are growing up in like...
High-rises?
High-rises, yeah.
It's weird. I mean, there wasn't a lot of us that you could count on. I could count on my hand how many were in my building. You know, like,
usually once we have kids, it's off to the suburbs.
I know.
Or somewhere with grass.
So just somewhere with space.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, for me, it was like I learned how to ride a bike in the city. Yeah. You know what I mean?
In the apartment.
In the apartment. In the hallway. That's where, seriously, that's where you start. You're not going to go out in the street first.
Running into neighbors' doors.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the stuff that I heard, the stuff that happened, my mom and I just talked about this when I went home. A guy had ripped off a prostitute, and she shot him outside of our apartment building.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice part of the city, but like... Yeah. You know, whatever, shit happens.
Right.
And anyway, there was blood in the street,
mm-hmm.
and there was loud banging, so I had woken up, and my mom was trying to, like, make up some lie about what happened. And the next morning, I was downstairs, and the front doorman was sitting there talking to another man, mm-hmm. and I asked him what happened.
Yeah.
And I said, what happened out there? And he said, oh, some man got shot. Some woman didn't like it. Some man got shot. They're coming for us. Isn't that crazy? These army helicopters come.
Yeah.
He was like, some man got shot by some woman for not paying him. I mean, he told me what happened. He didn't say hooker. I found that out later. But my parents, I was like, Mom, what happened out there? And she was like, there was a bucket of paint that spilled. There was a lot of paint.
Oh, my God.
And I said to her, I go, that's not true. The doorman said a man got shot. My mom was like, which one said that? Like, stormed downstairs. Was like, why are you telling my son about hookers killing people?
The next day, he's gone.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like that the city was kind of like... I thought most kids had that lifestyle. I thought most kids grew up in apartments. I dreamed. Yeah. I remember thinking about houses when I was a kid.
Oh, interesting.
About what that was like to live in a house.
I lived in an old house. It was like, I think it was haunted.
Crickety?
Was it like very old wooden crickety. Floors?
Yeah.
Yeah, but my mom swears it was haunted.
Did you ever have any experiences?
I'm not like, people say you have to be like susceptible to that or whatever.
Maybe, I don't know.
And I never, I had always had a weird feeling, but she swore that she heard like doors slam, footsteps when like no one else was home.
And you've never heard any of that shit?
I never heard any of it. But I can kind of feel energy.
Yeah.
I very much pick up on other people's energy. And anytime I would go home, it never felt light. You know what I mean?
What's my energy, by the way?
Your energy's light, for sure.
Do you know my color? You know that thing where they say you're like color?
I don't have any special powers.
That's Marvel's new series. Fortune Themester can tell aura.
Can someone please write a movie where I am a superhero with zero powers?
Where your one is you just kind of guess how people are feeling?
You're like, I think you're going through some stress right now. It's just kind of like a feeling. Like I can walk into a house and be like, oh, this house has a good feeling to it. Or like, ooh, something went down here.
Well, when we moved into this place, when we bought our house, I was weary over a lot of those things, over like, mm-hmm. what's the neighborhood like? What are the people like? Because like...
Are there ghosts?
What are your neighborhood? Yeah. Are there ghosts that live next door too that could get in? But I was always weary of like, who are these humans around you? Because that's super important.
Yeah, because...
I don't want to move to a place where like, his energy is gross and weird or something, and it like gets pushed onto you and
for
like
sure.
negative vibes, and you get into arguments over stuff like because you share land. It's
weird
to like
hear,
share
like,
land.
Nightmare stories about people like was it Rand Paul's like fighting, fist fighting with his neighbor?
Yeah, because you realize for all these years that you live in an apartment, you're sharing a building, but you don't care because it's none of yours. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And with this, it's like it's so yours that. Attitude gets in the way, like
you
ego, like
protective.
Possessive, protective. Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky they're not like that, but that's my first question.
You got
I was
good
like,
neighbors?
Yeah, I was like, what? Who are these people? Who were the people like before, too?
And you went and interviewed them?
I did. I gave them a three-page interview. And
I'm thinking about moving in next door. I have a few questions for you.
A couple of questions for you. Could you fill out this packet? I have a 40-page. Just fill it out in triplicate.
I don't know my neighbors. I know a couple of my neighbors are amazing, and they're like, you know, they're the kind where like our alarm went off a few weeks ago while we were out, and we were like, oh my god, someone's clearly breaking in.
Yeah.
And so my neighbors, like, it was like almost midnight. They got up.
Went over there?
Yeah, they went over there, checked everything. We got home like 30 minutes later. It turned out the sensor battery was dying.
Of course.
And cost me $270 for a false alarm report.
Oh, yeah, because the cops, you have to pay for that.
The cops come because we legit thought someone was breaking their house.
Well, but that's like a necessary evil. It's like, I'd rather a cop show up than just be like, I 100%. Think it's fine.
Yeah, 100%.
As they walk out with your TV.
Yeah, so I have neighbors like that. And then the rest of the neighbors I've never talked to in the 7 years I've lived in that house.
Whoa, really?
I know, isn't that weird?
Well, I mean, to be honest, like, I think there's like a... To me, it's like a 60-40. Like, I know 60% of my neighbors.
Yeah.
And the 40...
That's enough.
Yeah, that's enough, right? It's just over half.
We don't need to... I mean, it's like, do we really all need to hang out?
California is just not that culture.
No.
It's just not Southern California.
It's not.
No.
I grew up like that.
In the South, a different world.
Yeah, my hometown, like, everybody brings food when someone's dead or married or...
Heard your dad. We brought you some dish.
A casserole. And here, like, I moved into my house, like I said, 7 years ago, but I'd been here for 10 already.
Yeah.
In a different area, and one of the neighbors brought over, like, lemon bars, and I was just like, what do you want?
How skeptical.
why are you here? What's in them? Or am I supposed to invite them into my house?
Are you running for town council?
It's just so, I had not experienced that out here, it seemed alarming.
It's a little, it's a little weird because you're like, if I didn't live here, we would never know each other.
Right.
And like, hypothetically, you don't ever really need to meet anybody around you because, I don't know, you know, like a couple of houses up, like, well, I've never even seen this guy. Like, there's people that like come and go, their cars leave, and I've never even seen the humans that live inside of there. Isn't that fucking weird? And they're right there. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, my last apartment, I saw probably everybody every day. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you can't escape people when you live in a building. So it's like, this is kind of nice to not have to see people, but I wish there is a little bit Midwest in me that wishes, because we have the same kind of thing in the Midwest. Like, your neighbors are kind of people that you like aspire to get along with, so you can have a drink with them, and you know, will you watch a dog or will you go get my mail? Like, that's like an old Midwest thing inside of me that I think Southern California people are like, nobody gives a shit about that stuff here.
Yeah, you're on your own.
Yeah, this is solo
but
mission.
I think it's good to have a few people where you look out for them, they look out for you.
Yeah,
because, you know, it takes a village.
It does, a very small village. It takes a really tiny. It takes about a 8,000 square foot.
There's
village.
Only room for four people in this tent.
Everyone else has got to get out. Yeah, everyone else has to get out of this tent. Yeah. There's no room for anybody in my tent. I sleep alone in a tent.
That's
when
true.
By the way, I like sleeping alone in tents. Mm-hmm. When we go travel together, I make the old bag sleep in her own tent.
For real?
No, she sleeps in mine.
Oh,
no, she sleeps in mine. But she hates that stuff. When we went camping, and she couldn't go to bed at night. She was like, it's so uncomfortable. I was like, just get drunk until you can't. Camping, you're supposed to get drunk until you can't
camping
feel it anymore.
Is not for me.
No, you don't like it?
No, it's the one gay quality I don't possess.
Do most gay women like camping?
And I'm not handy. A lot of women that I know love camping. They love the outdoors.
I guess maybe is that a stereotype?
Yeah, for sure.
It is.
But some of these stereotypes are based in truth. Not all of them, but some
of them.
Yeah. And I know a lot of outdoorsy lesbians.
Give me the stereotypes that you definitely adhere to, and then give me the ones that you don't. Like,
of the gay thing?
Yeah.
I'm like a tomboy. I wear men's clothes, but I'm very much a female.
Yeah.
I play sports, softball, tennis, basketball, that stuff. There's that whole puss thing.
That you like puss?
I like puss.
is that one of the stereotypes of lesbians?
We're tendon known for that.
Really? I've never heard that. I didn't know that. Yeah. I'm going to write that down.
But I'm not...
There's that whole puss
There's
thing.
There's that whole puss thing.
That's so good.
I don't wear a lot of makeup, you know, that whole thing. I don't doll up.
Yeah, but if you have good skin, if you had bad skin, you think you'd wear makeup?
Probably
because you have really good skin. It's ridiculous.
Thank you.
Yeah, your face is such a nice, clean face.
Probably because I don't wear a lot of makeup.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah, it makes your face dirty.
Like, I always thought this. That was interesting because I can't talk to her about it because it's an annoying thing. But I was like, a lot of men have such clean skin, but it's probably because they don't put a bunch of shit on it all the time.
Yeah, because when you put a lot of stuff on it and you don't wash it off,
it's clogging it.
Yeah.
And young girls are taught to put on makeup at such a young age. Like our nieces are like so young, and sometimes like they want to do the makeup thing.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, it's weird that like it's societally just like you're inundated with the idea of putting on face stuff.
Oh yeah, it's everywhere. All these.
But it's crazy because it's a very American thing. Mm-hmm. Like it's a very American thing.
Is it? I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. When you go to a lot, there's a lot of parts of the world that don't. I mean, I would say.
Or they at least wait till a certain age.
Yeah. Also, like, I would say, like, okay, like French culture. There's, I think, lots of makeup is kind of not their thing.
Yeah,
Spanish culture is not the same thing. Italians, unless you're the frou-frou-y Western Europeans, like the high class.
Right.
But I think regular Europeans don't tend to wear a lot of makeup.
Maybe I'm European.
You could be European.
But as far as things, as far as things, stereotypes, I don't.
Yeah, the knots are funnier.
I am not handy whatsoever.
Like you can't fix anything?
I can hammer a nail and change a light bulb, but that's it.
You can't do anything else?
Plunge a toilet, maybe.
You don't know how to plunge a toilet?
I can plunge, but that's it. We're talking about basic level things.
How about like can you put a desk together?
Yeah, but I don't really want to.
That's what all handy stuff is. It's just you probably can do all of it.
Yeah.
You just don't want to do it.
I don't want to.
Yeah, like I'm not saying can you electrically wire your house.
Yeah, I would like hire my good guy friends. I would be like, I'll pay you to do this.
Yeah, that's stuff you don't want to do. I bet you could do most stuff
probably.
You just don't want. All right, what else?
And then I don't like camping. There's a stereotype that lesbians don't get along with men. I love men.
Yeah.
I really do. I have two older brothers. And a dad, obviously. And
I
have a dad. And I've gotten along so well with men my entire life.
What about gay men?
I love gay men too.
See, that's a stereotype I've heard that lesbians don't like gay men as much.
I mean, they say that the two sides don't like each other. In general, but I love gay men well.
But I think that's probably your personality. You kind of tend to be a loving person.
Yeah,
maybe that's
I'm pretty open to most people.
Yeah, you seem a little. You're passive when it comes to I don't think you let shit like people probably don't bother you as much as bullshit does.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not. I worry about things, but it's more of like I worry about things I need to take care of, like or like the outcome of something. But I'm not like like I'm a pretty positive person.
Yeah,
I like most people. I get along with most people.
You don't have a negative disposition.
No, I don't see the world in a like woe is me kind of way. Or,
is that the sound? Every day somebody wakes up.
There's so many victims. There's so many martyrs.
Oh yeah.
Like in this like Southern women of my mom's age are just like, well, I guess I'll spend Christmas alone. And you're like, all I said was that. I was coming in on the 23rd and not the 22nd.
Well, that's nice. I'll just drink myself to sleep again.
Well, since none of you kids want to spend Christmas with me.
The guilt trips in the South are really strange.
Ooh, they're big.
Do you get guilt tripped from your mom on a lot of shit too? Is she like that?
She can be. She doesn't realize that she's doing it.
But, oh, that's the worst. You know? When they're kind of like subconsciously guilt tripping you.
I'll be talking about something like I'll have a fight with my brother or something and somehow it'll lead to her like saying, well, you know, I'm on my birthday. No, you're like, what?
Yeah, it goes to
this
her.
Has nothing to do with you.
And yet it does.
I mean, I didn't want to say anything, but I didn't like the last 2 years of my birthday present. No one asked me.
Have you ever given your parents a gift and they you could physically see that they didn't like it?
No, because I usually give them money.
Oh, you give your mom and dad money?
Thank you.
that's so funny.
Because I come from working class folks.
Sure.
You know, my mom, like I said, my mom was a teacher.
Yeah.
My parents split when I was 12, so she was a single mom for most of my life.
What did the old man do?
He changed jobs a lot. One time he was like a traveling salesman.
God, I'm fascinated with that job.
Oh, it's not
like door to door type of shit.
Like, yeah, or like going to like hospitals to sell cleaning products.
Right.
He was a floor. He cleaned floor, like the wax guy that came in and cleaned floors. I don't know what those things are called.
Yeah, yeah, waxer, floor waxers.
Yeah, he was a manager at a trucking company. He's like a working man. And the last like 7 years, he was like the head of the janitorial service in an elementary school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he's a very handy guy.
He's the handy lesbian that we're talking about from before. Yeah.
And I did not get that. So he's like, yeah, just a total blue collar working guy.
So you
give money. And so my parents don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm by no means bankrolling them, cuz I'm living in the most expensive city in the country. I'm just trying to get by myself, but I do what I can. Like if there's a birthday or Christmas, instead of like, why would I get them like a candle when I could like pay for their new refrigerator?
That's
or pay a bill, you know, something like that.
What's the biggest purchase you make? Can you say it? I don't need the denomination
for myself
of money.
Or them?
No, for them. Like, what was there? Was there a big gift that you did for them? By the way, I need a new washer and dryer if you're willing to hand out gifts. I'm really looking for one.
I have bought them, my mom, like a refrigerator, my dad, like a dishwasher.
Appliances are big.
I took my mom on a cruise for one Christmas.
With her?
I went with her.
That's awesome.
And then sometimes I've just been like, here's $1,000, you know, like,
sweet.
But they're like some people in this business that get their mom like a new house. I'm like, don't be expecting
that. Those people are assholes. Okay.
I'm like, I don't have that kind of money. So
I told
my
mom, like, I'm never buying you guys
a house.
You're
like, even if I was really rich,
you ain't getting shit. In fact, I want to get really, really rich. And the one thing I do want to buy my mother is a car.
Yeah,
my
that
parents
would be nice.
My mom has had the same car.
Yeah.
She'll drive the same car for 15 years.
Yeah.
And that's just her thing. Like, she'll drive it until it, like, literally, you should get a new car. It's, like, unsafe. And she'll drive the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And my mom loves, like, little sports cars.
Mm-hmm.
But she never, ever would buy it. Like,
right.
Even if she had the money, she still wouldn't.
Right.
So I pine to be able to do that for her one day.
Yeah,
I don't know if
will.
I'll ever get to it.
You will.
I hope so.
I forgot I have helped my mom get two cars.
Two cars? Bought them cash?
One was I got a new car out here when I finally got, I think I started working at Chelsea and I finally started making money. And so I shipped her my Honda Accord. So I gave her my Honda Accord and then like she drove it. And loved it for like, because you know, those are great cars. They last forever.
They run for like 68 years.
Yeah, she drove it forever. And then like a couple years ago, just like randomly ran it off a hill. And we go,
what?
What?
Is everything
were
okay?
You drinking? Yeah. Like, were you? And she's like, no, I was just driving. And we're like, were you texting? Nope, just driving.
Something was going
on. And she just ran off an embankment.
She didn't get hurt?
She hit her head and got like it jumbled a little bit. Like her memory's not quite as great.
Wait. You're rushing over this. It jumbled a little bit?
You know,
my mom has brain damage.
Her brain a little bit.
Your mother has brain damage,
see,
and you're like, well, you know, it is what
God
it is.
God bless her. My mom's so smart, but sometimes I can't tell if it was the accident or if it's just her lack of.
Just
getting
older?
She's super book smart, sometimes not as common sense smart. And
I know these people.
Sometimes I don't know if it's the car accident or what. Luckily, she was fine, but she ran like 10 feet like a Thelma and Louise did into like I can laugh because she's okay, but it was the most bizarre thing. So
it's wild.
She got the insurance money from that car, and then I covered the rest of,
oh,
the,
that's
new,
awesome.
Of the new
See,
car.
See, that's nice.
But we're talking like a used Toyota Camry
so
from
what?
Like CarMax or something.
Still a car, man. There's a lot of people in the United States that can't buy it.
That's,
you know what I mean?
True,
that's
yeah.
still a huge thing. I don't know what kind of car I'd buy my mom, but I know it'd have to be like a fun little tiny sports car, like a little Beamer or something like that, like a little European sports car. Yeah, one day. Also, probably not, mom. So, you know.
The mom, don't be expecting anything.
Yeah, don't be expecting shit. Well, I bought my parents, I've talked about this before, I think, on my show. I bought my parents an iMac.
Yeah.
I bought my first big check. I bought him a computer.
That's so nice.
Yeah, you'd think.
They don't know how to work it.
Well, no, it was more like my dad was annoyed with it because they had used PCs their whole life.
Oh, because it was too technical.
Yeah, and I was like, Dad, all the wires. My father always bitched about the wires. Ah, that fucking speaker wire and that fucking mouse and the goddamn.
It's surround sound.
Yeah. He just got so sick. Surround sound. He's sick of the. He was sick of the shit. So right. I said, I'm going to buy them this thing. And then when I told him, I was like, it's all here. And he was like, where's the bass?
Oh.
Where's the floor thing? And I go, no, Dad, it's like, in the screen. That's the best part.
Yeah.
And he had a conspiracy. He was like, when do I got to go buy the other part? I was like, they don't. That's it.
You're like, this is it, man.
But I was so annoyed because I thought they were going to lose it. Yeah. Instead, they were like, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, the best part about buying people gifts, especially expensive ones, is that later on when they piss you off, you're like, I bought you a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna,
how do you like eating
you
food?
You really gonna talk to me like that right now?
You like eating food? I can clear out that fridge right now and take it right home with me. Fortune, you won't. I will. And I will. You strap it to your back.
Any fight. Hey, you remember that? Remember that dishwasher? You gave that to me 10 years ago.
And? Do you like it? Okay.
So I always win.
You do, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Do you hold that over them? That's no, I'm kidding. That'd be so sad. It'd be so mean. You're not coming home for Christmas? Refrigerator, hang up.
Refrigerator.
Just hang up the phone.
Click.
Are you going back to North Carolina for Christmas?
I am, yeah.
For Christmas, yeah.
I'm doing some stand-up shows in Florida right before Christmas.
Where in Florida?
Orlando and Tampa.
Improv, the Tampa.
The improvs, yeah.
What's it called? God.
Ybor City.
Can I show you something?
Do you have a tattoo of Tampa?
No, that's Ybor City. That scar.
What'd you do there?
That scar. I've talked about it before.
Oh.
Ybor City and I do not get along anymore.
You were drinking?
No.
Oh.
A fight broke out and there was an umbrella stand on the ground and my leg smashed against it.
No.
Ybor City has a bad taste in my mouth for some reason.
We have a scar.
I have a scar mentally and physically.
Yeah.
And then Tampa, you're doing as well?
Tampa, yeah.
Who lives in Florida?
No one lives in Florida. My fiance's family celebrates Christmas in Florida every year because they live in Michigan. And
they're
the snowbird type.
The Midwest?
Because it's so cold in Michigan. So they go to Clearwater, which is right beside Tampa.
Like it.
So the last 2 years I've managed to do shows in Florida right around Christmas.
Perfect.
So we go see her family and then I'll fly home to spend like Christmas Eve and everything with my mom because she's alone and I guess I'll just be by myself.
Is that what she says? What about your brothers? Where the fuck are they?
They come on like Christmas night or the next day. We kind of do the latter part of Christmas.
Right.
So I told my fiance, I was like, I'm just going to go home and be with my mom, go to church as you do.
Yeah,
Christmas Eve is like a big church night.
We fight it.
Yeah.
We fight it. And my dad hates it, but I'm like, I don't want to go anymore.
It's not,
it's not mine.
It's not your tradition. No. And then Jax will fly to North Carolina on Christmas. So we'll be together. But it's interesting because we're in that stage of our life where like, we're grown ass adults and like, we have a house. We have a life, but like I feel like our traditions are still tied to our families and what they want to do. Like, and it seems like if you don't have kids, especially, it's almost like you can't have your own tradition.
No, you have to do theirs.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's an interesting time that we're getting into that place where we're kind of like, we're not ever spending the holidays how we want to spend them.
That's the changeover, right? Like when we do holidays half 1 year there, 1 year mine, 1 year there.
Yeah.
And it's tough too because you're like, well, I wish we could do like 1 year. I've always said, I was like, why can't we just go to like somewhere tropical?
Yeah.
And I know that my mom would just, you know, I still have a grandmother left. So I think I think that's the thing is like, you gotta for her more than anything. And I get it, but there are times when I'm like, what if we just go somewhere really nice?
Yeah.
You know, it's like people forget that when someone's like, you live in LA, it's nice all the time. It's like, we travel so much. Mm-hmm. I'm in just as many shitty weathered places as people that live there. You know what I mean? I'm this tour I'm doing next year is January, February, March, April, and then May, and I'm done. So I'm literally traveling through shitty first half of the year weather.
Yeah, you're in the thick of it.
Yeah, it's just like, we live in that stuff. Mm-hmm. We're used to it. It's just, you want to just get away sometimes. Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you're like, I live far away from my family. I don't get to see them that often. So you're like, what are we really sacrificing? We're just
nothing.
Because, I mean, my partner and I see each other all day, every day. Like, do we need to go?
No.
You know, so do we need to go to some wherever? Just go home and see our family. You know?
And just hang out.
Yeah.
Decompress.
Just hang out. And I like going to North Carolina a lot because it's chill. Yeah. There's no expectations. Mm-hmm. I sit on the porch, chat with my folks. You know,
it's you're nothing. Are you Charlotte?
Eat a bunch of fried food. I am Belmont, which is 30 minutes from Charlotte.
Okay. You didn't need to say the town name.
It's almost like a suburb of Charlotte at this point.
Okay. Now people are going to come kill you, by the way. You told them where you were. Like, it's a small town.
Don't.
There's seven
There's
of us.
There's like seven people in the whole town.
How many people went to your high school?
God, I want to say 400 maybe.
Whoa.
500 most.
There was almost 1,000 in my graduating class.
Really? I think my graduating class was 200. So maybe it was like 600.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, we were around 200 in my class.
Wow.
It's small. I mean, growing up, my hometown was 5,000 people.
You knew everybody.
You knew everybody. Now I think it's like 10,000 people.
Oh, excuse me.
It's like super cute town. It's I didn't like it growing up because it was boring.
Yeah.
But then, like, it changed significantly over the years. It's gotten kind of cute and cool, and there's, like, cute little restaurants and little coffee shops. And I'm like, my hometown's cool. I love it here.
Yeah. What's the industry that was out of there? Like, what was the main?
In the early days, it was a big mill. I can't say mill.
Milling? Milling town?
Mill.
Oh, a mill.
Like, for cotton. Yeah, mill. Like that. Mill.
What were you trying to say?
Mill.
What would you
mill?
What would you have said?
I would say like meal, mill.
It was a meal.
I can't say certain words like
oil.
Well, oil.
Say it was a well oiled mill.
It was a well oiled mill.
It was a well oiled mill.
But yeah, it was a big mill town back in the day. So it was very small and there wasn't much to it. And then that completely went away. And now it's all these people from Charlotte moving in
to
building nice houses.
Get their money's worth of, yeah.
Yeah, because we're like 20 minutes from the Charlotte airport.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an hour and a half from our airport and we're only 10 miles away.
So it's like the best of both worlds. You get the small town and then like the conveniences of Charlotte.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. When I travel, that is one of those things that I kind of get a little emotional about. And I'm like, it would be cool to live in one of these quaint, wonderful, mm-hmm. like, you know, friendly places where people care.
Yeah,
it's tough. There is some tough parts about living. Like, do you think at some point in your life you'll leave LA?
You know, I've been out here 17 years, and I always assumed I would be here forever.
Mm-hmm.
I really like LA. I mean, it can be stressful.
I like it
sometimes
too.
Sometimes you're like, oh my God, I can't believe to buy a house is this much, and you're not even getting what you want.
Nope.
Sometimes I think, what is that? Why? Why am I here? But I mean, I still have to be here because jobs come up, as you know, last minute all the time. Auditions constantly, like, can you be in Santa Monica at 2 tomorrow? So I don't have the luxury of living elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, Sandra Bullock, she can live wherever she wants. She's good.
And ironically, she lives in Van Nuys at the airport.
she does.
Yeah.
But, like, there, I sometimes could see myself one day, like, going to like Nashville.
Yeah, I love
you
Nashville.
You know, like you still have a city, but it's got the Southern mentality.
I love
it's a
Nashville.
Cool,
I gotta tell
cool
you, I just
city.
Played Zanies there for the first time.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
I fucking adored it. I told Nate Bargatze because Nate lives out there.
Yeah.
You know,
and
his sister came to a show and I texted him. I was like, dude, this town is awesome. I really do enjoy it.
Yeah. I think Kathleen Madigan or somebody.
Yeah, I think she lives down there.
Yeah, she moved out there. And
yeah.
Lewis Black was like, she's having the time of her life. She's on a pontoon boat golfing. You know,
it's
like,
awesome.
I'm like, oh my God. Like, she's. And Nashville, you can fly to so many places because it's
so centralized.
It's not the total central part, but it's close to the
It's pretty
central.
Close. Yeah.
And I'm like, what am I doing in LA?
I think about that all the time.
But because acting is so important to me,
it's not
something a move I could make anytime soon.
Did you want to be an actor or a comedian more first, like when you first started? Did it matter?
It didn't matter. When I moved out here, to work as a personal assistant.
To who?
To an actress.
Can you say
Emily
it?
Proctor. She's the blonde chick from CSI Miami.
Ooh.
If you saw the poster, you would be like, oh, yeah, I remember her.
Yeah. I mean, I never watched those shows.
Yeah,
so maybe
I was
not.
I'm not into those shows either. But she She's from North Carolina.
Oh.
And we met at my graduation. She was the commencement speaker and I was the student speaker.
Whoa.
Yeah. And we hit it off, and through a series of events, I eventually caught up with her on the phone. Like, you know, one of those things, like, let me know if I can ever do anything for you, which you think will go nowhere.
Yeah.
But then it did end up leading to a job out here working for her.
Wow.
So I came out here to work for her, and I didn't know, I'd never been to LA. I was like, what am I doing?
Right.
I just kind of chalked it up to, like, this will be like a life adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's just see where life takes mm-hmm. us. And I got out here and I was like, oh my God, this is so hard. I don't know anybody. I couldn't make friends
for so hard.
The first 2 years. No one wanted to be my friend.
I still don't have friends. Nobody wants to be my friend.
You know, it's a place where people kind of have their thing and their people, and they don't really want to go beyond that. And so I would call my mom, like, being like, I gotta come home, like, it, you know. But it felt like that would be giving. I don't even know what I wanted, but it felt like I'd be giving up.
Yeah.
So I started taking improv classes at the Groundlings.
Oh wow!
And it changed everything.
Wow.
I had done theater in college, so I knew I liked acting, but I sucked in college.
No, you didn't suck.
I sucked because we did really weird modern plays, and like someone like me is not.
Yeah, you're not gonna thrive.
I'm all like, when are we gonna do Steel Magnolias? And they're like, he was not having it. So I knew I liked that.
Yeah.
Performing, but once I discovered improv, it was like, this is what's been missing.
Wow. When did you quit improv and switch to stand up?
I never. I almost said I never quit improv, but obviously
you never quit improv.
I don't do much improv anymore. So I started improv 2005. It was like a year and a half later, I started doing stand-up.
Oh, wow.
Someone...
we started like the exact same time. Did we?
Yeah.
07.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like at the beginning of 07.
Right, I moved here 4th of July 2006, and I finally got to LA like 07.
Yeah.
About... How old are you?
I'm 39.
Yeah.
And how old are you?
36.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I someone came to my... Because the improv led to me doing... Like, I created my own group, and I started doing sketch comedy.
Who was in your group? Anybody that I might know?
Do you know? Oh, you know Justin Martindale.
He was in my group.
He started stand up because of me.
Oh, because he was doing improv.
Improv and sketch. We had a group called Gas Money.
That's great.
I discovered him at an improv show, and I thought he was the funniest one.
He is. He is
and
quite funny.
And I asked my friend to ask him to be in the improv group.
Because you were too nervous to ask
him? I don't know. Yeah, like a first date.
Go tell him I like
Go
him.
Go tell him. And so and
anybody else that I know or no?
I don't think so. They're all like more improv, still in the
improv.
Well,
I know I've said this before, some great improvers are... like John Gabris, I think, is one of the funniest. Mm-hmm. Do you know him? And
I don't.
Mary Holland. Like,
because I never did UCB.
Ah, right. Those are all UCBers, yeah. I think. Yeah.
It was very separate back then.
Right. That's so weird.
And UCB LA started a little bit later after I started Groundlings. And at that point, I was in the thick of the Groundlings.
You were deep.
I was deep.
Are they the oldest improv troupe in LA? Or the improv?
They might be.
Because it's them, like the UCB, 70s. And Second City didn't come here for...
Yeah, it was a while.
Right.
And so when you get in that bubble there, you're just like, the Groundlings, it's all that matters.
Yeah, you're locked,
yeah.
Right?
So I started taking improv. I did this nerdy route with stand-up. I started taking classes.
That's what's wrong. What's wrong with that? It's whatever.
But at the end, you perform at the Comedy Store.
Right.
And then it was Adam Barnhart. You know
God,
Adam?
The name sounds familiar.
He does a show in the Belly Room a lot. It used to be every Sunday night. And so he was a teacher, and then he did a show every Sunday night in the Belly Room, and he said, I'll let you do 10 minutes every Sunday night if you run the music.
So that's
great. As a brand new comic, I got 10 minutes at the Comedy Store for an entire year every Sunday night. So it was huge for
Wow.
me. So I was able to get better faster.
Sure.
Because that was like a steady spot, and then I would try to find spots in between.
Right.
But it was like, you know, you're lucky to get 2 or 3 minutes when you're
brand new
comic.
3 minutes is what you get. And it's probably 2 minutes and 10 seconds because they mm-hmm. want you off. They're like, get off.
Yeah. So I went through the Comedy Store pretty, like through that route to paid regular fairly quickly.
Sure.
was like 2.5 years.
That's good. That's really good. And now, good segue. now you have a Netflix special coming out.
Yeah, my first
January
hour.
21.
January 21st. It's called Sweet and Salty.
Sweet and Salty.
Sweet and Salty. I'm so excited. I've done 2 half hours.
Yeah.
One Comedy Central, one Netflix.
And but now you're doing a Netflix hour, baby.
Yeah.
That's huge.
So it's really exciting. I mean, I'm excited about it. Who knows how other people will feel. It's just
they're gonna love it.
Personal set. It was I've never done this before where I was like literally going from my childhood every step to like junior high to college to like coming out to moving to LA. It was a very autobiographical timeline.
Awesome.
And it was a set that meant a lot to me, so it was cool to get to film it.
Where'd you shoot it?
In Charlotte.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so cool. It was a hometown crowd.
Wow.
And yeah, I can't wait for it to come out, just because, you know, it's like it's such a cool way to kind of show people your voice and what you do.
Absolutely.
And the half hours are they're great too, but it's very quick. You're like boom, boom. It's 22 minutes.
Yeah. You're in and out.
This is a full hour. So
you really get to divulge.
Yeah.
That's so fun. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure it's going to be awesome. I mean, you're a very talented girl, and I like what you do. Does your mom like your stuff?
She does. She does. Cause you know, she likes to be the center of attention, and I tend to talk about her.
Yeah.
There's several big stories in my set that involve her.
Oh, so she's going to love it.
So she's just beaming. Even if I'm talking shit about her, she's just like, that's me.
Even that's if it's just dumping on her. You know that's me, right?
You know that's me. She called me a slut.
Do you call her a slut in your act? That'd be so funny.
I used to as a joke when she was in the audience, just to see other people be like,
what?
She said that in front of her mother?
Yeah, yeah.
But she has a good sense of humor and laughs.
She gets it.
She gets it.
How do you raise someone like you and not get it? You
she
know?
Totally gets it. So, you know, and she'll say, I didn't care for that one joke. And I'll be like, oh, I'm starting with that joke.
What's the joke that you know that you love but she hates? Like, what's up? Now, you don't have to tell me the joke, but like the premise or the idea.
I have
of
a
it.
Joke about not. I was never kidnapped as a child, and because I was never desired.
Never.
She didn't like that
she
one.
She hates it.
She's like, I just don't care for that.
Because the layers of it make her mad.
She doesn't like the. She thinks it's offensive to people who've been kidnapped.
Yeah, well, they're not around anymore.
Yeah,
so for the most part.
I will tell you this though. So I do this whole bit about not getting kidnapped as a kid, and I'm like, it was all the rage in the 80s. And I
so
I
many kids on milk.
So many. I escaped it. And I was doing that joke in Salt Lake City. It was like a month before I taped my special, and the club owner came and he goes, "Hey, just so you know, Elizabeth Smart's dad is in the audience."
Shut up.
And it happened on that same day. He in People Magazine or somewhere it came out that he had come out of the closet as gay.
Right.
So I thought that they were telling me that because I was like, "What gay stuff do I have? Do I have anything offensive?" I don't think so. I think I'm gay. Like, it didn't even occur to me. Like, I'm just like, I think I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. And you know, business as usual.
Yeah.
So I get up on stage. I'm telling you, this joke comes like 2 minutes into my
set. Oh, it's hot right
now.
And I
go on a tangent about not being kidnapped because I wasn't cute enough or whatever. And like halfway through that joke, a light bulb went off. I go, oh my God, this was the joke that they were trying to warn me about.
You had to finish it.
I had to finish it. I was like,
and it crushed in.
I mean, it's a fun, it's a great silly joke, but I didn't see him. They said he was seemed like he had a good time.
If you go to a comedy club,
yeah,
you have to know.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought of all jokes that because you when you tell a joke like that, you think, what are the odds that someone who's actually been kidnapped or involved in a kidnapping
is going to be there.
It's going to be there. Like, right. It's a very small amount of people who've experienced kidnapping.
Yeah.
And the most famous, one of the most famous
probably the most
kidnapping cases of our entire country, the father sitting in my audience. Wow. It was kind of crazy.
Did he say hi?
He didn't say hi, but I don't think it was anything personal. It was just there was
it was
a
very little, personal. He's stewing right now.
He's probably.
He listens to everything you do. He listens to this right
he's
now.
Like, he's I'll like, I'll never see this girl bitch, again.
I'll fucking kill her.
I'll find I her. Felt, I'm gonna I kill felt her. A little bad.
You shouldn't.
But I think he knew it was coming from a very lighthearted place.
Yeah, look, you know, if you're going to comedy shows, chances are I would hope that you get that a lot of this stuff is all in jest. And mm-hmm. like, it's not, we're not, no comics are aiming arrows at people.
They're, no.
Like,
for the most part. For the most part. Not everyone.
But for the most part, it's like, it's all in jest. It's for fun. It's stupid. It's
making light of things that you're not making light of them to make light of them. You're making light of them because they're so heavy.
Yeah.
And they're so terrible. That you have to almost laugh sometimes.
Yeah, I think we usually make light of not the thing itself, but mm-hmm. the reaction around it.
Yeah.
So we typically will make fun of not the kidnapping, but the mm-hmm. idea of the social right. ramifications and those kind of things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of the depths of what I feel is like that's what's at the pinnacle of good comedy. It's like yeah. when you can take something social, uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and you can mock the ideas around it.
Yeah.
That's what's hilarious, because the thing itself, it's not that it can't be funny. It's just there's probably not a lot of comedic worth there. Mm-hmm. I bet the real worth is in the surrounding areas over
yeah
people's reactions to it, people's deep thoughts, what no one says about it that they all want to say. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, I think I come from that kind of family that you know we grew up with. You know, the lights would get cut off because we didn't have the money to pay.
Really.
Electric bills.
Did that happen often?
Not. It wasn't like a weekly thing, but right. it happened here and there. And so there were times that you were just like, I mean, I can't complain. I had a roof over my head, you know. But there were times when things were hard, and you wanna, as a kid, get bummed out about it. But my family had a tendency to take like hard things or tragedy. You know, certain tragedies in the family, and we would always, as a family, make light of it, mm-hmm. laugh at it. I mean, we were devastated when my grandmother died of cancer, and you know, we were all crushed. And then, you know, after her funeral, we are like in a circle, like making jokes, cracking up, laughing. Not because we didn't care that she had died, but that's how we yeah. sort of worked our way through that stuff.
I mean, you know, Irish funerals. Do you know about what we do?
What do you guys do?
Oh, we have a party. Like oh, yeah. You go drink afterwards. Mm-hmm. Like you do the whole deed, which is like, to me, the worst thing about Catholics is they do like open caskets. Like, mm-hmm. That is the worst to me. Like it's yeah. just, I don't want to see the dead person that I loved. Right. It's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, you usually pick a bar, or sometimes it's a VFW or a, you know, a banquet hall.
Yeah.
And you throw like a rager, and you're yeah. supposed to drink and tell stories about their lives. Mm-hmm. And that's yeah, a very traditional thing. Yeah, yeah. Because it's just like the whole thing is fucking terrible.
It's yeah,
like,
it's so dark.
How long can we sit in this sad crevice? Right. It's like we have to get away from that at some point.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, if you should want your friends to sell, like the best gift you could give me is having fun, telling fun stories.
Yeah, talk shit about me.
Reminiscing, yeah. Not like, do you really want someone like in a corner sobbing? I mean, maybe one or two people.
One.
But
one. Because you want someone to feel pain.
You want someone to feel that pain for sure.
Imagine you looking at them yeah. when you're dead and you're like, why is everyone so happy?
Yeah. You don't want people to be too happy.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, she's gone, and I got to tell you, the world is better. Yeah,
you need a few tears from people.
Right.
Then you party.
Mm-hmm. Then you rage. Yeah. One tear, a beer. You get a tear and a beer. That's how it goes. Tear and a beer. Bye. Get yourself tear and a beer. Bye. I don't know why I like the Southern accent so much. Just because when I was growing up around it, I was fascinated. When I tested for SNL, I did a character of my dad's best friend growing up.
Did you?
Yeah.
I tested for SNL twice. I wonder
what year?
2009, 2010.
I was, no. I was 12. Okay. No, 13 maybe.
That's a crazy process.
Yeah, awful. I don't even. Yeah, but I used one of the characters from my dad. Yeah, my dad's but Andrew. He talked like this. He go, hey boy, come over here, do 100 push-ups. I'll give you $100. He would do that.
That sounds like a lot of people I grew up with.
Yeah, I'll give you $100, boy, Andrew. Boy, go swimming, boy. Get in that pool. He was such like a tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about like the bravado of it all.
Yeah.
And like I was always an athlete when I was a kid, but mm-hmm. he would like push me around all the time.
What was your sport?
Basketball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I played baseball and football too,
mm-hmm.
But basketball was my favorite. I was the best at that.
Yeah.
I loved baseball, but I wish I was better.
Yeah.
I was not. I was never a great hitter. I was phenomenal on defense. I played shortstop. I was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But hitting was my weakness. Yeah. Man. I couldn't hit. But you know, at some point they learned that when I was in Little League that I wasn't that good of a hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So they would make me bunt and steal, and I could steal every base.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I was faster than most of the kids. So yeah, basketball was my as a young redheaded black male, it was just something that I was. It was just something that was in my DNA.
Yeah, basketball. Totally.
People always discount a redheaded kid when they come to the basketball court, and then they
shouldn't.
And then they no, I know. We have superpowers.
Do you still play?
I don't. I talked about this the other day. I stopped playing. I still run and go to the gym and lift weights, but sports have taken a back seat for me.
I know. It's hard once you get older.
Well, you don't want to get injured. What do I want to fucking show? I want to get a broken leg and show up to like Boise, a club, and be like,
get
hey.
It. I'm still playing in a soccer league. And
that's crazy.
But I drive to the soccer games being like, what am I doing?
Like, where is it at? Is it far away?
It's in Glendale.
Okay, yeah.
But I love it so much because I'm getting to that age where you reach a point where you know you're like, I'll never be on a team again.
Yeah,
I'll never be like high-fiving,
right,
having that camaraderie. And I'm trying to like hold on to it for as long as possible.
Let it go, baby doll.
Because I love that like feeling of like, we did it.
Do you go out afterwards and go get something to drink?
No, not anymore.
See, that's the
back
only
in
thing
the day
I love.
We used
yeah, I,
to.
That's what I used to love.
Yeah.
I played in a Chicago 16-inch softball league when I moved here. Do you know what that is?
No.
No glove. 16 inches is
what?
Big. Yeah, you use 12s, right?
The big ball, yeah.
Yeah, we use 16s. But
if you play fast pitch, you use the smaller one.
Yeah, we use 16s, and they're really they're softer.
Yeah, I've never played this.
No glove. It's a Chicago tradition. Yeah.
Okay.
16-inch no glove, baby. I mean, you get a lot of jammed fingers.
Yeah.
But you're fucked. Yeah, everyone's tanked.
You just go drink.
Yeah. But we used to beat the shit out of people. We were good, man. We were really good.
Yeah.
And afterwards, you would all go meet at a bar here in the valley that's now that's changed its name. It's on Riverside and something. No, it's across from Val Surf. You know, it's that, it's like a bro-y sports bar.
I used to live right there.
It used to be a shitty dive, a beautiful shitty dive. Now it's like a proper sports bar. TVs, it used to be a shithole.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we used to go there, and that was what I loved, was the camaraderie. And when that went away, I played in the Comedians Basketball League for 4 years. And when that stopped being the camaraderie, I was like,
then
this
you're like,
is
what's
not
the point?
Yeah, it just wasn't for me.
Yeah, I like you, Chicago folks. Chicago's one of my favorite cities.
Yeah.
And I find
your
that
fiance lived not she lived,
she lived
there?
There for 12 years. Yeah.
She went to college.
I met her in Chicago.
She go to college there?
She went to Michigan State.
Spartans.
She's a Spartan.
Go Spartans.
Baby. Go Spartans.
And then she moved to Chicago for work?
Yeah. She's a teacher out there. And
you met her where?
I met her in Chicago at Gay Pride.
Really?
Yeah.
How awesome.
She's
on the street?
Like at an event, my friends had me come be like the host for it because they have a big lesbian community there.
Yeah,
and
Andersonville.
They actually do a lot of events and stuff. So she was there and we just like started chatting and we knew people, like we had mutual friends.
Okay.
And so it didn't seem like it was a total stranger.
Right.
I could at least do some background check. Mm-hmm. And they were like, she's really cool. She's a kindergarten teacher.
That's awesome.
Basically, almost 5 years now.
Wow.
We've been together. We were long distance for a year, and then she moved to LA for me. But, like, she's like,
you move for me.
I know. Like, sometimes I feel so bad because she loves Chicago. Like,
me too.
Like I said, great city. And she worked, she basically was like Michelle Pfeiffer at her school. She was the only white
Gangster's Paradise
person in the entire school. And
but she, I care about you, Juwan.
Yes. But she felt like she was making a real difference.
That's beautiful.
You know?
Yeah.
And she loved her job. Her kids loved her. And
you ripped it away from her.
For LA. LA.
Does she teach out here at kindergarten?
She taught out here the first like 2 years. Mm-hmm. But then was just, and it wasn't, she wasn't getting the same
gratification
from it because she's like, I don't feel like these kids need me as much. I'm like, they do, but in a different way.
Sure.
And but she's been subbing this last like 2 years. Just and she basically toured with me for the 2 years I worked this set out.
Oh wow.
And she's joined the carnival that is stand up.
As your people say, bless her
heart.
I couldn't do that.
But
there's
some days I look at her like, did I mess up your life? Are you
okay?
And she's
like, you did, but it's okay.
She's like, yeah, it's not quite as fulfilling, but I love you, you know.
Yeah, but I think you find, I mean, you find as we all get older in our careers and our lives that you prioritize what's important anyway. Mm-hmm. You're like, this is what I need. Like, again, I like LA.
Yeah.
There's moments when I wish I didn't have to live somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't like being tied, like that it makes me live here. But it's a priority of mine to like work and enjoy it as much as I can.
Yeah.
It's a sacrifice that you got to make. I mean, if we didn't have to make any sacrifices, no one would be good at anything.
Right.
Nothing would get done, you know? So like you have to make these weird sacrifices, but I mean, I'm glad she's out here for you then. And
me too.
You know, and at some point, you know, maybe she'll just make you move back to Chicago.
She might. I might end up in Chicago.
Because I want to go back. I'm trying to say at some point. Yeah. She would probably be cool with it, but it's a hard thing to do, but I have these daydreams all the time about moving back to Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's just like, it touches me in a way when I think about home.
I totally get it. I mean, I loved visiting her there.
Yeah.
I mean, I just wouldn't want to be there in the winter.
Yeah.
The winter part stinks.
Yeah, it does. But you know what?
I'm sure you get used to it.
It's not just that you get used to it as much as it also creates a bond. I've said this before. Mm-hmm. There's a camaraderie about it.
Yeah.
That in Chicago, when you go to have a drink at a bar in shitty weather, mm-hmm. you're all on the same team. Like we're all fighting this weird nature battle.
Elements.
Yeah, it's really nice. It creates way more interpersonal relationships.
I can see that.
You can
sure.
bitch about stuff. People just like to bitch about shit.
People in Chicago love to drink.
We love to drink and we love to bitch. You're
you guys have great food.
We have the best worst best. Food. The best worst
food. Yeah, the best worst food.
It's not good for you, but totally. It's delicious. There's a place here in Southern California called Portillo's. You know what that is?
Yeah, I've never been there, though.
It's the only one outside of Chicago that's a Chicago restaurant.
And where is the one here?
Buena Park.
Oh.
I just went down there when I went to Brea last weekend. Yeah, if you want good, bad food,
that's the
go
place.
To Portillo's. Yeah, it's hot dogs, Italian sausages, Italian beef combo.
Hey.
And a woman back in Chicago, she goes, number 42, this one's for you. Number 43, it's about to be for me. Better come pick it up now. She's the best.
That's
man.
Awesome.
Yeah. And they have a little white kid doing it down here, and I was really disappointed in him.
Not the same.
I was like, don't do that. Don't do what she does. I know it's tradition.
Yeah.
But you can't do it like a sassy black woman. No. You can't be like a white high school kid.
You sure can.
It did
sure
not
can.
Work. It just like, it threw me off. I was like,
I have to try it sometime. I think Stone told me
does
about
he go down
that.
There?
He told I was doing shows in Brea a couple months ago.
Oh,
he was
yeah.
like, you got it. Or no, Brooks Whelan maybe was like, you
that
got
sounds more right. Yeah, I think it was. He's an Iowa kid.
It
he knows Chicago.
That was like, you got to go to Portillo's.
Yeah, that's worth it. It's worth it. Next time you go down there, go. Are you touring? What are you doing? What's going on right now next?
Yeah, right now I'm finished out the rest of this tour. I've got, like I said, the improv at in Orlando and Tampa. I'm doing the Irvine Improv the end of the month.
Right.
In California and then Aspen, Colorado. And then I'm coming up with a big tour for the spring. Whew. That hopefully I'll have not all new stuff, but most new stuff.
Enough new stuff
to That's make people happy.
Yeah.
So that'll be March or April. We're still figuring that out.
Okay, good. Yeah. But in the meantime, go to fortunefemster.com.
Yeah, fortunefemster.com. And January 21st, watch my special on Netflix.
You better
please.
Watch that shit. If you don't watch that shit, we're coming to find you. We have your boxes. We have the code so we know what each of you are doing.
Put in your calendars.
Put it
Sweet
now.
And salty.
Sweet and salty, January 21st on
my
Netflix.
My two favorite food groups.
Sweet.
Sweet and salty.
All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I end the episode like this. I'm going to walk away off camera. You have to finish the episode yourself by saying a word or a phrase directly into camera.
Okay.
And go ahead.
Bleep, 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 that's all, folks.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like that.